This is Fresh Air. I'm David Biancooley, in for Terry Gross, with today's show devoted to James Brown. About that. Tell me what you're going to do. I got to know about that. Is your love for real? Do you know how I feel? Tell me what you're going to do. Yeah, about that. I got ants in my pants and I need to dance. Come on. He was called the Godfather of Soul, but it's impossible to imagine funk or even hip-hop without the rhythmic innovations of James Brown. As a singer, bandleader, and performer, he influenced generations of musicians around the world. And even though he died in 2006 at age 73, James Brown continues to be influential. A new movie about him, called Get On Up, premieres in theaters today. Later in the show, we'll hear from his biographer, and from two musicians who played in his band, Maceo Parker and Bootsy Collins. But first, an interview with James Brown himself, which Terry recorded in 2005 after the publication of his autobiography, I Feel Good. The man needs no introduction, but here's a great one.
So now, ladies and gentlemen, it is start time. Are you ready for start time? Thank you, and thank you very kindly. It is indeed a great pleasure to present to you at this particular time, national and international known as the hardest working man in show business, man that's saying I'll go crazy. Try me. You've got the power. Think. If you want me, I don't mind. Bewildered. $1 million seller, lost someone. The very latest release, Night Train. Let's everybody shout and shimmy. Mr. Dynamite, the amazing Mr. Please Please himself, the star of the show, James Brown and the Famous Flame.
Now, we've all heard your MC introduce you over the years. Why did you want an MC to introduce you in this fantastic way?
Well, because it's dramatic, it dramatizes a lot, and it's a build-up what show business should be about. It should be a great fanfare and a production, the same as a minister would do in a church, or a coach would do to his team. You have to have a way of getting started, and that's probably the best way that I know of, with a dramatic introduction.
And one of the things your MC has always done is, like, put on your cape, take off your cape. Now, have you always had your clothes made for you?
Most of the time I design them. I started wearing red suits years ago and they thought we were crazy. But we wanted people to say, there he is, not where he is. And the same thing applied to the Famous Flames.
I want to play I Got You, I Feel Good, one of your most famous songs. You have two versions of this. The first one you didn't release. You weren't happy with it. This was in 1964. What was wrong with the original version? What made you think it's not ready yet? It's not right yet?
You got to get it where it syncs with the people or where they're at, you know. I recorded I Feel Good in Chicago, and it was too sharp, too slick. Had a baritone, you know, and it was like, I feel good. Da 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 da. We call that staccato because it hits right on all the points. Da 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 da. In the drum. So what we did, we want to get more of a funk feeling, a sanctified feeling. So we changed it and slowed it down. Wow, I feel good. Da 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 da. Then that's two different kind of things. See, that's one is jazz because sharp mixes, and the other one kind of laid back, and gave you a little rock and roll feeling at that time as well. We went with the laid back cut because that fit the street and fit the dances. A good thing I could dance, because by being able to dance, I could really tell that the new arrangement, the new concept I had for it, really fell right in place.
What was the difference between the dancing you could do with the second version compared to the first?
Well, you could do the street dances. The first verse was, you might even do ballroom and everything with it, but the second verse was strictly for get down from the street.
Right.
And we need street action. That's what's basically wrong with the music today. A lot of it don't go street.
Okay, well, let's hear both of these versions back to back, the unreleased and the released versions of James Brown, I Got You, I Feel Good.
Well, you'll notice that the unreleased has a baritone in it, mm-hmm. with a heavy sound, and the other one don't have the baritone, but you'll see the difference.
Let's hear it.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got it. Oh, I feel nice. Sugar and spice. I feel nice. Sugar and spice.
Shortly after you recorded I Got You, you recorded Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. And I want to quote something that you say in your new memoir, I Feel Good. You say, Papa's Got a Brand New Bag changed everything again for me and my music. I didn't need melody to make music. That was, to me, old-fashioned and out of step. I now realized I could compose and sing a song that used one chord or two at the most. How did you start reducing your songs to being more about rhythm than about melody?
There's a lot of my songs that's melody, but like I Feel Good, that's melody, all that stuff. But rhythm all the way through the song, and I was listening to, but I went with more of a jazz concept gospel situation.
Now, at about this time, your beat really starts shifting from the two and the four to the one and the three. Can you talk a little bit about that shift?
Started,
yeah, go ahead.
It started that with Papa's Bag.
Right.
From that point on, it was one and three. And even before I Feel Good, Papa's Bag has a one and three.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you maybe just clap for us the difference?
Well, one is laid back, and you know, it's like, dun, ding, dun, bum. The one has syncopation. That's the difference. And you count it off, you right on the one. Bam, doom, bang, bang. And then the other one, you say one and a two, and you'd be on a two, see, but with two is the upbeat, and I'm on the downbeat. That's the difference.
And was it hard to convince the musicians that this would work, or did they get it right away?
No, I paid them. And they played with it, and they played what I wanted, and that was it, because they would have never agreed.
They would have never agreed to it?
They would have never agreed.
Why not?
Well, because it was in their head that Mozart, Schubert, Beethoven, Strauss, Bach, Chopin was correct. And they used to tell me that I was wrong. So they thought that was a law in music. There's no law in music. There's a freedom in music.
Some of the musicians in your band became famous in their own right later on. Maceo Parker, Fred Wesley, Bootsy Collins. And, you know, I interviewed Bootsy Collins a few years ago, and one of the things he said, I mean, he loved playing in your band, but one of the things he said is that it was hard for him to be so disciplined. It was around 1970, the era when you were recording Sex Machine, and he said, you know, everyone was freaking out, but we were standing up there being the tightest band in the land, having to wear suits and patent leather shoes, and you couldn't jump out in the audience and freak out and act crazy, and that's what we wanted to do. Did you know that someone like, say, Bootsy Collins really wanted to, like, be wild and crazy, and you wanted this really tight, disciplined band?
Well, I taught them organization. They didn't have organization. And discipline is very important. You wouldn't take, you know, I want them where they could play at West Point as well as play in the street on the corner. I mean West Point, a Navy Academy place. I want them to be able to go anywhere. And see, when I went to play Papa's Bag and stuff like that, I could play for the president, then I'd go and play for the people in the street.
Now, do you ever find musicians? I know you used to find musicians, didn't
you? Oh, yes. I'll do it now, but, you know, the musicians now, they have a lot more respect, and they're more intense on doing right.
So, Mr. Brown, what are some of the things you find musicians for back in the day?
Oh, a lot of major things. I do the total program, like a West Point. They got to be clean, neat. The shirt got to be pressed. Shoes got to be shine. The suit got to be pressed. They got to play correct. They can't be looking off when they should be watching me, because then they miss something, I find them. Those people would rather not get fined, so they have a little bit more discipline. And that's in every situation. I'm sure the President of the United States has ways of making people account for themselves.
What's the biggest fine you ever gave?
I don't know. Maybe 500.
We'll hear more of our 2005 interview with James Brown in the second half of the show.